the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Friends and enemies, welcome to another episode of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast here on the mighty CBP Media Network. My name is Joey. That is Len. Buddy, I just came back from walking a little moose there with my wife, and I got to say, hints of spring in the air here. Are we done with the snow? Are we good to move on to warmer weather, or you think we're going to get another blast? Where are you at with all this?
I'm thinking no more, like, it's going to be chilly, but no more snow. I didn't even bother shoveling, to be honest, because I looked at the forecast. It snowed here. I think on Saturday, Friday, whatever the day was.
Friday.
And by 2 days later, it was gone. It was warm enough that everything melted. Actually, it was next day pretty much melted. So, yeah, I think we're pretty much done. But still, I mean, I went out for a walk today, and it was chilly. It was windy. Yeah. It was not.
When'd you go? You're by the water, though, right? You're a little closer to the water than me. So, for me, it's really not that big a deal.
That is true, because when I used a motorcycle and when I get off the highway and go south towards, because I'm north of the lake, when I head towards my house, you could just feel like almost a cool wall of air. As soon as you cross, it's like, it's incredible. And it's noticeably like, it's a several degree difference between the highway and then closer to my house. And even closer you get to the lake, it gets even cooler during summertime. But yeah, that's winter and that's weather talk. But yeah, Joey, there's a lot going on. I'm not sure if you want to talk about what's going on over there. I see a football. Maybe you want to.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. I got a ball here. I have to break in a little bit. But
you sign him? That,
no, I don't sign him. I bought a handful of them a couple of weeks back, maybe 2 months ago now, I should say.
I thought you bought one.
No, I ended up buying a couple because I couldn't hold it. And so I ended up going with the Wilson F2000, which is the CIS ball here. But the problem is that it's the leather on it's already starting to peel off. Like, it's unbelievable how quickly these things wear down. And I went online again, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and just looked at like the leather content and the whether it's like Horween or a different kind of leather. Horween is good leather, which is what the F2000 uses, but I don't think you can use it on a football, honestly. It's not exactly the most resilient. I don't have like a rocket arm, but I do throw it pretty hard. And so if I miss, it hits the turf, you know, going a pretty good clip. So yeah, no big deal. Not a problem. I got the Wilson GST Prime here. It just came in the mail today. It has to be broken in a little bit, but story for another time. I thought you were going to say we have lots to talk about because, the price is way up and, two of our most, you know, frequently discussed recently people are, you know, in the news together.
I'll be honest. I am so disconnected from the price the last couple of weeks. I honestly don't give a fuck about the price now. Is we've eclipsed 70,000 until it gets to six digits. Yeah. That's when I'm really going to be, you know, in party mode. But until then, it's like, whatever. I want to, like, if there's a dip, I'm going to execute some buys on that. If not, yeah, I'm just do my regular DCAs.
I just want to do, you know what, before I forget, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I thought you were done. There's a lot more people listening and watching on Twitter now than there were before. I can see during the show that there's, you know, between the three or four different streams, there's like 100 people, 120 people usually, you know, by the end of the show. Just know that I can see your comments in the chat on StreamYard, but I can't respond to you through the StreamYard chat. So I'm not ignoring you. Thank you for listening and watching, but it's hard for me to type back. I just don't have that many hands.
I think this is the birthday episode or is the next one.
Yeah, Jordab in the chat saying this is our 3-year anniversary. It could be, honestly. I have no idea. Put you in the same category as my wife now, right? I don't remember our anniversary either.
No, you should never forget that. No, next week is the closest by date to our original episode. I believe we recorded our first episode on March 31st, 2020.
Recorded or released?
Recorded. 2 days later, it was released. I'll go back in time here because April 1st is Monday next week, which means it's 1 day difference. So in terms of like how close it is now on April, do we do 2022 or 2021?
2021.
Yeah. Man, this has been a long time we've been doing this show.
I know, 3 years. So,
there it is. The 29th of March was a Monday. We recorded that date, released 2 days later on the 31st. So still, either way, it's still the closest is the 1st, isn't it?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't really care. Yeah, I'm just happy that we're still doing it 3 years later and neither of us have gone insane. In fact, I think I've become more sane than anything else. Bitcoin has, you know, balanced me out a little bit, if anything. I mean, if I do say so myself, my wife might disagree.
If you are okay. Going off the deep end, just say serenity now.
That's right.
Relax.
Let's talk about the sponsors. EasyDNS, flagship sponsor, man. Mark's been with us for more than a year now. Incredible partner. Helped us with our website. He is your friendly neighborhood domain registrar, as he always likes to say. Not EasyDNS related, but Mark was just on Breedlove's show last week and released on Friday or Saturday. I think I listened to it. It was pretty good. I recommend you guys do the same. If you need to host a website, get a domain, any of that stuff, Mark is your guy. Talk to him. He's in the chat tonight, it looks like, at least for the moment, until he finds something better to do than listen to a couple of babbling turds, as the Looney Hour guys like to say. If you need to use a virtual private server service to do Bitcoin Node, Nostr Relay, BTC Pay Server, Nodeless, you name it, he's got you covered there. If you already have a domain with a suboptimal provider and want to move over, he's got you covered. If you want to move your email over from a suboptimal provider or start getting emails at your new domain name, he's got you covered. The common theme here, Len, is no matter what you want to do, Mark has got you covered. He just sent us this book. Yeah, Managing Mission Critical Domains in DNS. I confess, Mark, I have not opened it yet, but I will, because we also do another show for Mark, as you guys know, Access of Easy, every Thursday or Friday. We record that depending on our schedule. So yeah, all that said, CBP Media is the code over at EasyDNS. Go talk to him. Hit him up on Twitter. Follow what he's got going on, EasyDNS, Access of Easy, Bomb Thrower, all that stuff. And tell him we sent you. He gives you a discount. You can't beat that. And looking forward to seeing what you guys do with these tools available to you. Who else we got?
Bull Bitcoin. Come on, guys. Look at the price. You're going to buy? You're going to sell? Either way, Bull got you covered, because you could do both of those on Bull Bitcoin. On-chain and using Lightning. Now, I saw the fees yesterday. I'll take a quick peek at them now. They are still, well, they're creeping up around 31 sats per Bbyte on the last.
That's cheap. That's cheap.
Still is cheap. So you could certainly do on-chain buys and then also consolidate your transactions, topic for another time. But if you also want to use Lightning, you could do so. That's what Bull Bitcoin gives you the opportunity to do. So you could also, with Bull Bitcoin, is because the price is so high, you could start spending your Bitcoin if you wanted to. First thing you could do, you could use your Bitcoin to pay your bills. You want to pay your electricity bill, you want to pay your car payment, you want to pay whatever the heck you want to do, you could use that to pay your bill. So Bull Bitcoin has you covered with that. The second thing you could do, you could buy gift cards through Bull Bitcoin. So you could spend your Bitcoin. Price is high for Bitcoin. You might as well start spending it if you have the option. And you can start spending that in the real world. So indirectly, you are spending your Bitcoin and you're living on a Bitcoin standard. Now, there are people that are doing this. I don't want to name names, but I know some people that are doing that. So this is a possibility. Another thing that Bull Bitcoin has, something that's very popular and something I talk about all the time, is KYC free buys. Now, it's a good thing to do it because there's no policy, there's no regulations, there's nothing stopping you from buying and holding KYC free Bitcoin. That's simple to do. It's not outside the realm of the law. So just do that if you haven't already done so. I would suggest don't mix your Bitcoin with your KYC with your KYC free stuff. Try to keep them separate if at all possible. Use a passphrase, use something to just separate them. But just go to Canada Post. You could do that with Bull Bitcoin to have you covered. If you haven't opened an account, use our referral code below. If you do and you fund your account and provide the necessary information, $21 will be added to your account, no questions asked, or simply go to iwantbitcoin.ca. That's another way to use our referral code.
You'd love to see it. We have a little treat for you guys if you do a buy in the next 2 weeks, let's say, with our referral code. We'll get to that during the show.
Yeah, the first story, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, by
the
way. I think you're really going to like it. Do you want to do the boost and then we'll get into things?
Yeah, so for boost number one, Jordab, thank you, 100 sats. I think he's still in the chat. If so, thank you very much. He says, to help fund Joey's new car.
Remember last week? Okay, so I'll update on the car. I didn't need a new car at all. The fuel pump was toast. The module was fine, thank God. So I think all said, I had to get a new one, new engine coil too, because I think I melted it, honestly. The total damage, Len, do you want to venture a guess? To get to the fuel pump, and the fuel module, they had to drop the tank.
It's inside the tank.
Yeah. So how do you think they, how much do you think they charge me for that? That whole job, hours, the pump.
$450. Am I way too light on this?
Oh, you're way too late. Yeah. You're way too late.
It's because
$2,200
an hour and a half.
$2,200 for the coil, the pump, the labor. And I had to get one other thing too. I forget now what it was, about $2,200. So
wow,
not a new car, but we're inching every day. Every day.
This is why I do as much as myself as I can. So yeah.
It's you got a couple good guesses in the chat there. Boomer guessed 2K. Derek's got 1250. You were close. But
my neighbor has a fuel pump issue, and you know he's going to do it himself. He's now he can't even start the car, so get that on a ramp. It's going to be fun.
The thing is with I don't know what other cars like, but with I have a Volvo, and I think that the assumption from Volvo is that the fuel pump is something you might do once in the life of the car. So the sacrifice they make or the trade offs are something we're very familiar with in Bitcoin, obviously. Is a lot of the other parts and peripherals are easily accessible without having to drop major pieces of the car out of the equation to replace them or to get at them to identify a problem. Problem is the fuel pump is the one that they chose to trade with, right? And so that one's a little harder to get to naturally. And hopefully you only have to do it once, but you know,
fingers crossed. Diesel for us, the pump it's accessible. As soon as they pop the hood, it's right there.
Yeah,
easy to get to. Very expensive with diesel. That's why you have to put quality fuel, change your fuel filter often.
Yeah.
And if you run, and if there's any water whatsoever in your fuel, you're going to just wreck the pump. And that's not cheap.
Yeah.
So, but it's easy to replace. That's the good thing.
Yeah. And I was thinking about last week when I was talking about looking at new cars and stuff. I can't justify it. It's not even the money because I think what I would do is I would finance as much of it as I could, given that inflation is kind of way out of control. I'll take the last car payment out of my couch. I think I said that last week too, but it's just the amount of money a car costs now it's batshit. Honestly, you can't get a decent car with under 100,000 miles for less than 25K. And I say decent, I would even I'm throwing Civics, Kias, Mazdas.
Oh yeah.
We
were talking about this yesterday with my wife. Mm-hmm. That if you want to buy brand new, there's very few options you could get under 25,000 on the
road. Oh, yeah.
It's actually, I think, only one or two options.
I was going to say, it's very few is an understatement. There's almost none under 25, yeah. Under 30 even. Yeah. Anyway, so, Jordab, thanks, buddy. I'll put that, whatever that is, 40 cents. Not even 4 cents, probably.
And I'll tell you, in the 20th year of my car. When my car turned 20, that year I didn't put a single penny into it. I didn't change the oil. I didn't change the tires. I ran winter tires all year round.
Nice.
That year was the best year for that car. Not even a fucking penny went into that.
Winter tires, you can hit a curve pretty hard in winters. Those things are like marshmallows as soon as it gets to be 10 degrees. So you can fucking hammer it. Some of those ramps. They're
fast. But those winters were kind of on their last leg, so that was happening.
Yeah.
But that was a great year. Last year, I had 21st year, I had to change the oil, unfortunately, and buy new set of tires, but oh well. Anyways, keep this moving. Teats, 500 sats. He says, your coffee table is a shitcoin because I put my coffee table out on a curb last week. And it went. Somebody took
it.
So it's nice. Not really a shitcoin. Somebody took
it. Did you get the interview with the guy? Can we post it?
I went to bed at night. The morning it was gone. It was still there at night. So somewhere between me going to bed around 10:30, 10 o'clock, and then waking up at 6:30-ish, then 7 o'clock, it was whatever. Mo BTC Dick, 500 sats. Joey, you most definitely want a Toyota. My first car was a 2000 Toyota Solara with 300,000 kilometers. Original everything. Replaced the original clutch at over 200,000 kilometers. Buddy, I'm at almost 500,000 with my clutch. No slippage still. Currently, I own two Toyotas after a Civic and a Subaru Outback. Both were awesome cars, but the Toyotas paid for themselves. There's a ringing endorsement for Toyotas, in case you're
listening. Mo BTC Dick, longtime friend of the show. He's got some rep for sure here. So I would consider it. I wanted to buy a Highlander instead of the CRV we got in January, but my better half, the woman to whom I'm related by marriage, wouldn't budge. So there you have it. I'll think about that, though, for sure. That was another one that was on my list. I should have mentioned it earlier, but now that it has Mo BTC's ringing endorsement, higher on the list.
Check it up. So Doom
is that car advice? Is that advice? Not car advice. NCA.
No, that's NCA. Definitely car advice. It's not going to risk you financially if you do that, right? So Doom Demasm 521 sats. He says, thank you for your time. And that's it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'll be happy to read whatever comment you put in there. Rander 555 sats. Joey, you were spot on when you talk about the liberal/NDP quote unquote safe supply method for help users. It does not help. It only hurts them further. There is a phenomenal documentary put together by Aaron Gunn on YouTube on this issue. He compares BC to Alberta. Smith and BC has decided to build facilities that sober people up and make them contributing citizens in society. It's amazing to see the contrast from a shit approach to a common sense one.
Yeah. The true debate is not between safe supply and abstinence. Like this is sort of the, you know, that's the left curve debate at this point. It's really like just morons debating which one is better. The real debate at this point, in my opinion, I'm not an expert, but I have some experience in this. The real debate is between going full abstinence and using opioid replacement therapies, and something we've tackled at Wayside over the years. And I think we did a good job. We opted to go with some ORT options, and our results have been, honest to God, man, like I talk about this all the time. We the show raises funds for Wayside, and we did a donation this year, as we always do. And I know some of you guys have supported Wayside in the past as well. The results are staggering. And I just went to bat for this with an accreditation team last week. Wayside goes through a 4-year accreditation cycle, like a lot of agencies do. And one of the things me and the board president, I'm the vice president of the board at the moment, talked to the team about was like, look, you know, it's not like Wayside and a lot of agencies in our boat have a lot of tailwinds, you know? Like everywhere you look, it's a headwind. It's safe supply. We have to destigmatize use. We have to allow open abuses of these things in our inner streets. We don't have to do any of that. And it's not like there's nowhere to look to see whether or not these techniques are better or worse than what we're doing and what a lot of abstinence-based agencies are doing. And it's frustrating to see that. So I do appreciate those kind words, man. I would check that out from Aaron Gunn. I'm always interested in seeing what's going on in the substance abuse space. It's so important. And you're affected by it. You know, I used to say that you're affected by it because someone you know is using, or someone you know someone who is using. But now with these like 10 cities popping up and the abuse becoming more and more rampant, it's affecting you in a major way. It could affect your kids, you know, on their bus route to school or something like that. It's everywhere. We all got to learn about it one way or another. And it's important to learn the right things, I think. So thank you. I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, I'll go right into the Bitcoin.
May as well. Your buddy Dave and your buddy Madex up to something. What happened? Talk to me about
it. Okay, yeah. There was some drama. That's what we'll call it, right? Because, so people that are unaware, this is what happened.
Hold the tweet. Madex. You got the tweet? Keep talking. I'll find the tweet.
So Madex, he's a Bitcoiner and an artist. He sold a piece of art and he posted this on Twitter, on X, whatever. It's nothing unusual or extraordinary at this point, but after Madex made this post, then steps in Mr. David Bailey, the CEO of Bitcoin Magazine. And he seemingly was trying to push the inscription narrative by asking to trade a JPEG. So Madex would have taken a picture or given a JPEG version of a piece of art he sold, given it to David Bailey. And in return, David Bailey would send Madex one BTC. So essentially, it's a JPEG for something, right? What, $70,000, whatever the heck the price of Bitcoin is right now.
Yeah.
The reason why he turned it down was not because he didn't want or didn't need the one Bitcoin. He said it would be helpful to him, but the cost to sell it would be too great. So it's not just simply the cost of selling it. There's more to it. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he was saying accepting the offer would be more like selling a part of Madex's soul to the inscription crew. That's what he said. And the intent of this whole exercise, I believe, and Madex too, according to him, was to scam a greater fool. That's the words he used, scam a greater fool. And anybody out there that is, you know, supporting Madex, they should be doing this through buying his physical work. Anything that he's selling, the physical work, the proof of art, let's call that proof of art, that's available for sale. You could, you know, not some stupid fucking JPEG. And we have to give credit here to Madex for turning down this offer. Like, let's be honest. If anybody's offered a single BTC for a fucking picture, a lot of people would accept it. And it's hard to say that it's the wrong thing to do. But Madex did this because he's a man of character and he has integrity. That's why he didn't do this. And these are some of the qualities of people in this world are missing And a lot of people are just willing to sell to the highest bidder. And a good thing he's not. And I'm very happy for this. Now, as a result of this, what we're doing here at the CBP, people that have bought through Bull Bitcoin using a referral code, all the money we've collected for the past, I guess, couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Through that. And all the money we're to collect for the next couple of weeks is going to be donated to MADEX. So everybody out there, buy using our referral code. All the referral money that we're going to make through that is going to be sent to MADEX as a way to thank him for what he did here. He turned down $70,000. We're obviously not going to have enough to cover that, but we're going to do our part. And if anybody wants to make a donation to him, I would suggest you do so. We're also going to send all the boosts that we have. Right now, we have 42,000 sats in boosts sitting on our wallet from Fountain. Mm-hmm. If you want to send some boosts, those boosts are also going to be redirected to MADEX. And hopefully this is going to make him feel a little better for making this decision. He made the right decision. Financially, it hurt, though. But if you want to see more of MADEX's work, check out his website, madex.art. Or you could check out his X handle, Spacebull. So if you're interested in it, it's there. But as for the one BTC for the JPEG offer, I have to give credit to David Bailey. You know, through this offer, he tried to make inscriptions look like a place where Bitcoin art could have a home, right? The people behind it, David Bailey, the CEO of Bitcoin Magazine, Mike Germano, he's the president, right, of Bitcoin Magazine, UTXO, right? They're the assets management, the people, the assets management arm behind Bitcoin Magazine, too. We can't forget about them. These are the guys that are also trying to sell JPEGs on their website for upwards of 10 BTC. Well, all those people I've mentioned, they can all fucking suck my cock. That's the reality, right? Better yet, how about a fucking teabag? You can lie down in a dentist chair. You can just open up and I'll give you a couple of salty eggs just right in your fucking face. You could just enjoy that. Make an inscription to that, by the way. That's what I would suggest. But the value will always be one fucking sat. That's it. We're dealing with one fucking sat. And because of this, these guys could suck my fucking cock. That's all I got to say about this. Good on MADEX. We'll be happy to donate whatever we make the last couple of weeks plus the next couple of weeks for everything we get for the referrals and boosts. And we're going to direct it right to it. But that's all I got to say about this. What a fucking joke.
My view on ordinals is like, I think ideologically it's aligned with you, but I don't care if someone finds the sats valuable. Like if Bitcoin Magazine wants to sell ordinals, like I said this before a million times, you and me have some agreement, but some disagreement on this topic. I don't care. I'm more baffled by the people who buy them than the people who sell them. I'll say that. And, you know, to me, the MADEX thing, it's kind of neat, man, honestly. And I think the thing that he thought about, and I plan on bringing him on before the conference for another show, although it won't be 3 hours long this time. The thing I think that he thought, even though he doesn't mention it in his video, you know, by putting something like that on chain, whether you think it's valuable or not, whether someone else thinks it's valuable or not, like 100K is a lot to turn down. But I think what he's looking at is, man, I sold a lot of art to a lot of people with the sort of implicit understanding that this was a physical thing, proof of work type thing. And you guys paid a pretty penny for it because it was a one of one or a one of five or you know, something I produced on my own. And it really meant a lot to me. And I don't want to, you know, send a digital version to Bailey or anybody else and have it inscribed, because that dilutes the scarcity of the stuff that's already out there. I think there's something to be said about that. And I'm pretty happy that he did that as someone who bought something from him, and I continue to support him. I have a couple of hoodies and a couple of shirts. Does it mean that the ordinals thing is done and dead? No, people will still find value in these things. There's always a market for, you know, that sort of collectible, even if it's a kind of a gray area as far as scarcity. Like I'm with you there. I don't get the whole rare sats thing. I don't personally see value in it, but I was pretty excited to see that. And man, Len, like, talk about steel nuts. That's a lot of money to turn down. You know, 100K in Bitcoin is a lot of money to turn down. And he wasn't even asking MADEX to inscribe it. He was just asking him to send him a JPEG, basically, right? Like, email it to him and give him his blessing to inscribe it. So I am impressed by this in a major way. And I think it's one of the reasons that you and I, you know, behind the scenes agreed pretty quickly, like, we should support this guy. He gave up a lot of money here, and every little bit that we can give him to, you know, applaud the decision, I think it helps. I think it's worth it. I think it's a worthy way to support them.
Big time. And encouraging you to use our referral code so we could help support him.
Yeah, exactly. All that. So every penny, Bitcoin, man. Yeah, every penny we get. And you guys buy a lot of Bitcoin. And so, you know, we get, like everyone knows, we get a little bit of a kickback when you guys buy on our code. It's not much, but if everyone does it in like a focused way for 2 weeks, I think it'll make a difference for Madex. You know, also the guy, like, not to turn this into like a World Vision commercial or anything, but he just busted up his ankle pretty good too. I'm pretty sure he's in a cast. So like he's not having that good a time right now. It'd be good to cheer him up. And I think, you know, between the community and the financial support, it'd be a really nice gesture. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys put together with your buys.
I think this whole exercise here is we're seeing there's a lot of resistance towards what's going on with Bitcoin Magazine and all the players involved over there. There's a lot of people that are voicing their displeasure. And I think that the tides are turning with respect to them. Up until maybe 6 months ago, maybe a little bit less, it didn't seem like there was much backlash, but now there seems to be so much more. And it's,
I got to ask you, how do you feel about, because obviously Mark Goodwin, who's the editor-in-chief of the magazine side, okay, the print, the media side, and then Bailey's the president of the BTC Magazine, the corporation, or the, you know,
CEO.
Whatever, CEO of the whole operation, right? The sort of umbrella corp, let's call it. I think on Twitter, they're very quick to point out that there is a wall between the two. And I'm not sure, like when I hear people say that Bitcoin Magazine is like, you know, a scam operation, I don't agree with that personally, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Like, I don't know if you saw the list of speakers for the conference this year in Nashville. Like, there's some pretty big names on there. Like, so do you find guys like Luke Groman, Michael Saylor? Like, are these guys now guilty by association for you? Or do they, like, are they above it? Like, where do you come down on that stuff? Like, surely you don't view Saylor as a scammer or like propagating a scam for speaking at the Bitcoin conference. So where do you put them? Like, how strong are your feelings here?
I'm indifferent to him because my opinion on him hasn't changed very much. He's what part of a Bitcoin development company? Is that what the thing is? And I still don't understand how
MSTRs
work.
Yeah, that's what they're pivoting to anyway.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Whatever it means, you know what he's doing? He's just manipulating the tools that are available to him to get as much Bitcoin. That's it. So he doesn't make him knowledgeable or a huge Bitcoiner. No, he's maximizing the amount of Bitcoin he could get.
Doesn't make him a visionary though, of sorts? Like, doesn't that put him...
He's taking advantage of what's available to him. He thinks that it's going to be going up in price, but I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, you think that, don't you? I mean, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm trying... To me, like, I'm using you as a vector for a lot of people who I think feel even more strongly than you that Bitcoin Magazine is just like a negative, you know, persona non grata type institution now that just cannot be mentioned in the same breath as Bitcoin or maximalism or anything like that. And so I'm curious because I haven't really given it much thought. I like Saylor. I think he's a really bright guy. Luke Roman's a favorite of mine. There's a few other speakers on the list. Their names are kind of escaping me now, but like, I'm wondering, like, the conference is coming and people are going to say what, that they're, you know, they're,
no. Do you think that Saylor is really looking at this through the lens of, say, you or I, or is he looking at this through the lens of...
No, he's not. So, he doesn't care right. What people think about him. No, of course not. Yeah.
Or even what's going on with the ordinal stuff. Has he even mentioned anything to do
with
that?
He's mentioned it.
He has?
Yeah, he's not pro or con. He's kind of in the middle. He's like, the fees are the fees. The legality is the legality based on network rules. I mean, that's where I come down to, basically. I personally, I don't know what he thinks about the value. I don't see the value, but I can't tell other people not to. I mean, I don't want to make this fucking ordinal show, but I'm just curious because the speakers list is leaking here little by little. And
let it goes to show you that they're fucking taking backlash for their decisions. And some of their decisions have been brutal for the past little while. It's too bad because, you know, maybe 3 years ago, things may have been much different in terms of our thinking of them, but just shitty decision after shitty decision has led us to this point. If you had a choice, are you going to go to the Bitcoin conference?
I'm not. Nashville? I mean, I'd rather wipe my ass
with a cheese grater than
you go. And I talked about, like, you know, where to spend CBP travel budget for conferences. Like, the Montreal one's a no-brainer. I might try and get to the Bitcoin rodeo if I can put together a couple of interviews while I'm there. But I mean, Nashville's not on my list. I would sooner go to Bitcoin Park. The thing about the Nashville conference isn't the Bitcoin magazine, you know, whether I like them or don't like them. The biggest thing for me is that everyone I've talked to about the conference says that it's more suits than, you know, zealots. And I kind of, you know, I get, I mean, you and me, without going into too much detail, like we work in a suit heavy environment. Like I kind of, when I go to a Bitcoin thing, like I want zealots. When I go to the Corn Lords meetup, like I go there to get my zealot fix. You know, I don't go there to get my suit fixed. And I think the Canadian conferences are more zealotry than, you know, clean shaven suit guys. And I like that. And so maybe that's why I wouldn't
get
go.
A little bit of everything at that conference.
The Bitcoin magazine conference.
I think you get a little bit of everything over there. Yeah. I don't think it's strictly just a suit thing. I think it's a little, I think there's side stages that placate to people that want to do other things, at least in the past. I'm not sure what it's going to be this time. I'm really not going to pay much attention to it. And last year too, they had RFK Jr. talk about how he, remember he's now into ETH and other things.
I know he's buying some ETH too. He's buying,
hey man, Pepe's. I called him out.
Joe Biden.
I called him out. I said, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
This is fucking speech.
I know. I think me and you have been on that kind of thing pretty early, right? Like we've seen so much of it over the last few years. Never fails. Anyway, interesting stuff. Buy some Bitcoin on Bull Bitcoin before the price gets to 100,000 and, give your boy Madex a shout. I mentioned it to him this morning. I sent him a DM. I said, look, we're going to do this. We're going to announce it tonight. He's honored. No one has ever done something like this for him. So let's make it a good push and really make the guy happy. He deserves it.
StartOS.
Yeah.
Some people talk about this and some people use this. That's fine because it's a pretty good product, but they are going to be giving more options to their users out there. And they're going to be offering the ability to filter out some garbage. So some of the things that they're opening up in the config options are this is going to be kind of technical, the permit bear multisig data carrier and data carrier size. So this is stuff that currently is available for easily to change on Bitcoin Core when you change the Bitcoin.conf file. And now StartOS users can do the same.
Do you want to just note, I think a lot of people don't realize that StartOS is free even if you don't buy the Start9 software. So you can get this no matter what you're running.
Yeah, so yeah, I ran it for a brief period of time on a old laptop, so you don't have to have the hardware that they're providing you. You could simply just provide your own and run it from there. I don't think it's going to work on a Raspberry Pi. I didn't check that out, but don't quote me on that. Do some research if I could be wrong. But certainly on a laptop that has some capabilities, 4 or 8 gigabyte RAM and at least, I guess, 600-800 gigabytes of storage.
Yeah,
for a full node, I think that's the bare minimum. But again, check that out. So yeah, you could certainly use your own equipment. So now they're offering the ability to do the permit, bear multisig, the data carrier, and data carrier size. So these options, what do? It just gives you greater control and flexibility on your mempool. So the policies that you put in place will dictate what it keeps in memory. So you can reject stuff that is being broadcasted by other nodes. And then as well, since it's not coming to yours, you're not going to be broadcasting that garbage elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you can be filtering out JPEG trash and a little bit others too. So this gives, well, it makes your Bitcoin node run more efficiently.
Yeah.
Because you only have a certain, you know, it's
not listen, I agree with you on this. I think that if you're running a node and you want to optimize your node by removing certain things from the mempool. It's, you know, as you always say, you can run your node the way you want. That's how Bitcoin works. Everyone gets their own take on the node, right? So that's yeah. Good. It's a good feature. Yeah.
Yeah. Because if it's running more efficiently, you don't have an infinite amount of RAM. You don't have an infinite amount of storage. Everything, there's a finite number. So if you could release this stuff, then you're having less of that stuff in your mempool.
Yeah.
And so your Bitcoin node theoretically runs more efficiently. So you don't have to make it dedicate as much memory towards it. And it's just running better. So that's good. StartOS and Bitcoin, all caps is saying, was already likely available. They're just making it now. You could toggle the UX for it. When I used StartOS, I was not unable to find a way to get into the terminal to change any settings because I was having an issue with my Wi-Fi. And in order for me to fix it, I had to access the terminal and I couldn't find a way to open up a terminal window. So I couldn't fix that problem.
Really?
So yeah. So that's essentially
what did Matt, did we had Matt on? Did you talk to him about that?
I dealt with the people at Startup West directly, and they're very helpful. I went to their Telegram channel. I posted the information. They got back to me. It just, there was a configuration that just prevented me from doing it. They didn't support my Wi-Fi in the end. Then I bought a dongle and just it wasn't able to connect to it. Either way, I went to Core, and everything worked out well for me because it's just running basically a Linux version in Core, and I have total control over everything. I'm familiar with it. It works for me, but I don't want to make it a story about that. Start OS, good for them, because they have the ability to now give you the options to filter out the trash on the UX side of things. So if you are running Start OS and you want to filter out these JPEG, all this garbage, you could do so. I believe you'd have to update to the latest version and go from there. So good for them.
Yeah, no really additional comment except to say that, like I mentioned earlier, you can run your node the way you want. And if you're if you feel strongly about this, then you should take your, you know, take the options that are available to you of this nature when you can get them. It's been difficult to this point, I think, Len. Is it safe to say, maybe not difficult, but it's been kind of off the beaten path to this point because ordinals and whatnot really didn't come into the picture until last year, right? So now people are looking more at this and they're saying, I either want to support these or I don't. How do I do it? What's the best way? This is the best way, right? It's another way you can vote and voice your opinion with the network space that you allow these things to take up. So up to you, but definitely options, man. Like always, Bitcoin development delivering, right? It's not quite Core development, but all these things that are kind of tangential to Core, you know, they're starting to show different ways to be active in these debates, maybe without shit posting on Twitter. It's nice to see.
Pablo is asking, can it be retroactively purged from the mempool? Yeah, you could go ahead, make the change, and it will not show up any further on your mempool. So definitely make the change, restart, and you're good to go.
Is there a tutorial on this anywhere? Do you want to like point people to a tutorial?
I don't know where it would be. Go to Start 09 and see if they have something. I don't run it, so I'm not exactly sure what's the process to eliminate this, but I know somehow it has just got to be an option that you put on the Bitcoin.
All caps, if you guys are in the live chat or if you're listening later, you know, at this point in the chat here, it's 36 minutes, 48 seconds in on the live chat. Bitcoin all caps is making some, he's posted some comments on how to do it. So
yeah, he said you got to edit the Bitcoin.com file, and sure, they're going to have that file somewhere. Just I was not able to run a terminal to fix my Wi-Fi issue, and right. I can't remember if there's a way to edit the bitcoin.com file through the StartOS UI. Maybe there is a way to do it, but I can't remember that. I only ran it very briefly before I ditched it and just went to Core. So
right,
who knows.
Okay, yeah, good stuff. Anyways, yeah, all caps, thank you for your comments there too, buddy, we appreciate it.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to show up, there's going to be a having party. I'm just going to go on a little bit of tangent here. April 20th in Waterloo, Innocente Brewery, 5 p.m. it starts, and maybe Bitcoin All Caps will be there. I'm not sure. If you're not in Bitcoin All Caps,
please. I've never been to Innocente and not seen All Caps there. So he may be living in the brew room, honestly, for all I know. So, I'm not sure.
Greenpeace, buddy. Let's talk about Greenpeace. They're back to stirring the Bitcoin FUD pot, and they released a new report. And it ties a bunch of entities together: big oil, dirty coal, gas plants, right-wing climate deniers, and of course Bitcoin. This is just like one big whole fucking mess just thrown all together.
I love it.
The beef they have is with the proof of work system.
Do they say it's beef, or is it more of a, you know, Beyond Meat patty with us? Which is it?
Sorry, say it again.
Do they have a beef with us, or do they have a Beyond Meat patty with us?
Either way, let's go. The Beyond Meat that they have with us, or with Bitcoin in general, is the proof of work system, right? And this, there's no way to dance around it. It requires an enormous amount of energy. Currently, it's using a lot of energy, and it's going to be using even more moving forward. There's no way around that. But they point at the, you know, large Bitcoin data centers, but they make no reference, not a single fucking reference to the server farms that like Google and Amazon or any other company out there keep running, because they use the very same energy that does Bitcoin miners, right? And their report is also claiming that Bitcoin mining are also using lobbyists to push friendly regulations towards Bitcoin mining. Imagine that.
Len, are these friendly regulations in the room with us now? I have not seen any friendly regulations.
Well, you know what? Remember 2-3 weeks ago, we talked about the Team Biden were throwing out the idea of
30% excise tax. Yeah.
Yes. Is that friendly regulations? Friendly. No. So I really, come on. I mean, do they really prefer flaring or venting methane gas into the air?
Me getting rich. That's all they don't want. Yeah.
But you know, it's fucking Ripple that's behind this, right?
I know.
And, or at least I think that they're still behind it because they were behind a previous round of FUD. Why not this time? And remember, it was Change the Code campaign. And where did that get them? It's going to get them nowhere if they try it again. The fucking thing won't work. Because as a node runner, I can run whatever the fucking node I want to run. There's no fucking nothing stopping me from doing it. As long as it complies with the Bitcoin network as we know it, I'll run it. And you can't stop me. Not on top of that, I can mine where the fuck I want to mine, including Bitcoin. I can simply just plug it in. Sure, I'm a small garage miner if I ever do something like that. But still, I could participate in the Bitcoin mining process. So I could complete the circle. The only thing I'm not doing is developing Bitcoin. So really, like, what the fuck are they after? This is just a whole bunch of nonsense. And throwing this all together, right-wing climate deniers, and throwing us together, with, like, get the fuck out of here. These guys, they're just doing this for the sake of getting publicity, right? Yeah. Who's paying for this? I'm thinking it's still Ripple. I don't know. Maybe it's a conglomerate of individuals or companies. Who the fuck knows? But either way, it's going to get nothing. This is just, it's totally bullshit. Nothing's going to come out of this. And it's going to change, at least globally, no opinions are going to be changed whatsoever. So fuck you.
All agreement from me there. It is Ripple. I think in the community notes on Twitter, they got nicked pretty good. And I believe that there was also a response from some major player in the ETF issuance space that's now dabbling in Bitcoin, though I forget which one. It's good to see that we've basically made this pivot from, you know, trying to counteract Brandolini's law here. We pivoted away from that, spending all our time combating just steady stream of bullshit. You know, like it's coming from a fire hose on the Ripple side and the Greenpeace side, to this point now where the burden of proof really has become theirs to bear instead of Bitcoin's. You love to see this stuff. It's only a matter of time until this, you know, continues to accelerate. I don't know if you ever read the Fidelity reports, Len, but I watch the Fidelity YouTube videos that go with their reports sometimes, digital asset stuff. And even they're starting to mention it, that mining is just not the environmental harmful, you know, thing that they thought it was 2 years ago. And in fact, there's some benefits. Everyone is coming around to this because, surprise, surprise, when you start to look at the mechanisms we use to mine, right? You're looking for cheap energy, stranded energy, things of this nature, methane and flaring, like you mentioned. This is stuff that no one else wants. It's being, you know, produced anyway. Bitcoin can help you take care of that. It doesn't get better than this. And it feels good, I think, for a lot of Bitcoiners who have been saying this stuff to their wife, brother, sister, aunt, mechanic, priest for the last 5 years, finally to have somebody with a media credential saying it on Twitter. It's you know, it's good to be right. And I think we're going to be right a lot more often than in the coming months and years.
Even if the WEF were seeing
them too. That's right. Wasn't there like a rainforest story? I forget now. It's coming so fast and furious, but yeah, there was something, eh?
Yeah. It was something to do with the Congo, I believe. And it was a chocolate factory, and it was, they're using the mining from excess energy from one of the local dams over there to, you know, to mine Bitcoin, and the excess energy is awesome. Being diverted towards
the dam. The dams are such a cool story. Like, we had Oded Orgel on the show a handful of times. Remember from DMG, that was Sheldon Bennett. Yeah, Sheldon Bennett was DMG. Ocean Falls, and Ocean Falls was one of these like abandoned mines that had this like power. All the power was there and just not being used. It's incredible, man. Like, you can't, these guys. Guys like Oded, Sheldon, you know, they got it so early. Even Lyndon, right? Dean Lyndon, who ended up, you know, having to leave his post at Luxfolio, which has since gone kaput since he left. These guys all understood so early, and they don't get enough credit. There's a lot of people who really, you know, popularize themselves and gain notoriety because they got it early. But there's a lot of people who got it early and just kind of are happy to contribute and remain in, you know, semi-obscure, you know, a semi-obscure part of the public vision. It's great. We had these guys on so early on the show, Len, and we, you know, were kind of jaw agape during some of those interviews because we were hearing some of this stuff for the first time. And now everyone's hearing it, and they're having the same reaction we did. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
So Boomer's asking if Luxfolio gone. No, they're still trading. And in fact, some days they go up like 30, 40, 50%. I don't know who's buying it.
Glenn, let's put $1,000 in there and just see if we can double up. Like, if it lands on red, well, you know,
you won't be able to sell it. It's just, it's so thinly traded, dude. That 1,000 is gone. But anyways, we could talk about EU, and sure, they have this anti-money laundering campaign that's ongoing. And AML is a huge issue for governments, right? Like, there's no way to sugarcoat this, but it is. And it's done because of a variety of reasons. And the EU, they want to try to reduce this for the obvious reasons, right? And Bitcoin may unfortunately fall into the net they're trying to cast. And it could be here that it could be problematic for Bitcoiners, and I'll explain why. An idea is being thrown out there. Fortunately, it's been shelved, but it was an idea that they're going to say that a 1,000 euro purchase limit on Bitcoin payments for self-hosted wallets would be in effect. So they were originally talking about a 1,000 euro limit on Bitcoin payments from self-hosted wallets. That has since been scrapped, but there is a limit on this, and I'll explain it in just a second here. If they did have this limit of 1,000 euros, that would essentially make it impossible to exchange your Bitcoin with a business while using your self-hosted wallet that wasn't KYC'd, because 1,000 euros is a decent amount of money, but it's getting to be less and less valuable by the day. So that's why I was saying that. But currently there are limits right now, and the limit for cash payments in the EU are 10,000 euros. And they have also banned any anonymous cash payments over 3,000 euros. So there's a difference between the two. There's the cash payments that you could do that you provided identification, you could do that up to 10,000 euros. Or if you haven't provided cash identification, your limit is only 3,000 euros. That's currently in place. This also impacts self-hosted Bitcoin wallets. So you might have an issue moving forward if you try to exceed those limits that is outside these limitations by the EU. And especially if you don't want to give your ID, you're stuck at 3,000 euros. But this is going to be becoming worse and worse moving forward. If they're already talking about putting a limit of 1,000 euro per transaction, that is really, really restrictive in a lot of different ways. And I could see this eventually coming to fruition. And then what stops from 1,000? Why not bring it to 500 or 300? And then it's going to be a cup of coffee, which at that point is going to be 2,500 euros to buy. But it just goes to show you, they have no idea what they're trying to do. But because of all these AML things, Bitcoin is being caught in the crosshairs. And if you have a self-hosted wallet that is not KYC'd, man, you're going to have some problems if you ever try to spend your Bitcoin over there. There's going to be a mass exodus of Bitcoiners from the EU going to other countries that are more pro-Bitcoin. And that's too bad for them, but good for the Bitcoiners.
Okay, so interesting kind of context to put around this. 3,000 euros as a cash payment is the limit if there's no KYC. You don't have to show ID, all that stuff. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Do you know how many like different things that you see sort of in your day-to-day life cost more than 3,000 euros? I'll give you a good example. Here in Dundas, there's a bike shop called Freewheel Cycle, and it's like a bicycle store, pretty high end, but not so, so high end that it's not always jam-packed on Saturdays when I go downtown. And there's a bunch of bikes in there, Len, that cost more than 3,000 euros.
Look at your car bill is half the price of that. It was
You're getting close. You're getting close, right? So if you're talking about stuff that you could potentially get on Kijiji, now I'm not recommending that you go spend, you know, the 3,000 euros or equivalent in Canadian dollars on Kijiji. It's dicey to say the least. But the point is that the laws are not keeping up with inflation on one side, and then on the other side, you're really starting to see a crackdown here on a lot of different fronts. I think you may have seen the story that you know, social media posts in Canada and the United States now starting to be kind of aggregated and scraped for data. And, you know, you see the banks now talking about making sure that you're not falling victim to fraud when you send money to places like Bull Bitcoin or ShakePay or Bitcoin Well or whatever. Everyone seems to want to have a hand in what you're doing. But when I look at what the PBO says, for example, about what's going on here with like some government spending, they don't seem to have a full picture all the time. And I don't know, is that fair? It's something to consider, at least, I think. And it's, you know, kind of frustrating as a citizen and an individual that it seems like an awful lot of resources here and in the States and in major European countries, awful lot of resources being dedicated to make sure that I'm not doing anything, not illegal, but not doing anything that someone might consider to be suspicious in my day-to-day life, especially as it comes to cash payments and spending. but there's not really the same amount of resources being given to other things of that nature. Isn't that that's frustrating to me. I don't really like that. And I don't think anyone should like it. Honestly, it should worry you a bit that this is the direction things are going. And I'll, you know, beat a dead horse here a little bit, but what does a sovereign individual say? As the need for tax receipts increases, as the likelihood that capital flees jurisdictions where tax laws are unfavorable or economic conditions are worsening or whatever, you're going to see more stuff like this. Because I think at the end of the day, it's getting harder to make the argument that there's not at least some possibility that what's really being looked at here is, where are you going with your money and why are you not spending it here? Where are you going with the money and why is it not being spent in a way that's easy to tax? Where are you going with the, you know, all these things? And, you know, that book has proven to be pretty prophetic in a lot of ways. And it seems to me that it's becoming more so every week we do this show, we talk about something else that's covered in that book. And I don't know. To me, this is a bit worrying. And it's something that Bitcoin, I think, maybe doesn't try and solve directly. Bitcoin, obviously, very transparent when you're on chain. But it's hard when everybody is using something like Bitcoin to enforce some of these rules, KYC, AML, anonymous payments, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, the question really for modern citizens and modern governments to tackle together in harmony, in my opinion, at least that should be the first try, is where's the line for privacy? And I think the line for privacy, when it comes to, you know, that debate and that argument, you should always err on more privacy as opposed to less. We're not doing that. And that should be concerning for everybody.
So that's KYC free and running your own node, shit like that. Those are the ways to go. In terms of Western nations, which are supportive to Bitcoiners, at least as a user,
okay,
I'm talking about like mining, whatever. It seems that the EU and Britain are the worst.
They have a bone to pick, European countries, right? And UK. Yeah.
The UK, I think they've banned, for instance, ATMs, Bitcoin ATMs. Mm-hmm. And remember, they even banned advertisements related to Bitcoin.
Remember there was talk recently. I mean, again, it's crazy that we're talking about 3 years worth of backstories here, but it was fairly recently, like the last 6 months, I think we talked about how there was a bank who in the UK or one of the other European countries basically just told their customers, like, we're not going to transfer to crypto exchanges anymore. You have to find a new bank. Yeah.
Because like they limited, I think, to $10,000 or something like that.
Yeah, per month. Yeah.
I don't know what the number is, something. Those countries there, so everything in the EU and also Britain seems to be like the worst. Canada, United States, as a user, seems to be much, much better.
So far.
Luckily, we're...
Do you expect it to continue, though, really? Like, that's... I mean, this is a bit far afoot from the question, but do you expect it that, you know, directionally, which I always talk about on the show, like, you have to ask yourself, you know, what's going to push you into a place where you have to take action? Directionally, are we headed that way? Or are we... Like, I think, if anything, we're getting there faster and faster, not slower and slower. And you see this more and more with these types of laws and the way... I think the other thing that's even maybe more concerning to me, Len, is like old laws generously interpreted, I should say, to fit Bitcoin into these cages, you know, literally and figuratively, where it's really under tight surveillance, right? And the expectation is that it just becomes so cumbersome for you to use it. You know, you're talking about collecting the addresses and social insurance numbers of people you're sending Bitcoin to or whatever. Like, no one's fucking doing that. But that might be the expectation at some point. You know, it's kind of all headed that direction. So I think the other question people have to ask themselves is, what's the thing that's going to push you into a position where you have to decide whether you want to stay or go, whether you want to contribute and try and fix things, or whether this is a lost cause? A lot of smart people are going to start asking themselves that in the next 5 years, 3 years, 10 years, I don't know, some period, but it's definitely coming, I think. And I don't know where I come down on all this. You know,
in terms of the privacy side, I think we're going to lose out. I have a sneaky suspicion.
So how's that look?
Well, out of the EU, they'll probably request, if you're going to spend Bitcoin, to provide some identification to, you know, make it that, you know, you're giving up your ID and they're,
time, and they can identify that wallet, right? They can identify,
But on the flip side too, there's another way they could also approach this. Even by doing that, I don't know if they'll do this, but maybe make it change the way the tax reporting is required for spending your Bitcoin, lower the capital gains on the, you know, what you're able to be taxed on, or maybe eliminate it entirely. I'm not sure which of the two, but by doing that, you can encourage people to start spending it. Maybe even capture some taxes from that.
There could be some positives. This is interesting, right? So I'm glad you brought this up. This idea that the really government should be encouraging Bitcoin's use to get a handle on where things are on the network. That's an interesting theory, right? You're kind of touching on that. I think I like that.
I'm also even thinking of taxation purposes, because let's be honest, all governments are starved for cash or funds, right? And one way to get a new stream of revenue would be to get it from, say, the Bitcoin community, encourage them to spend and take a smaller percentage of taxes. And so, you know, they'd spend it instead of, you know, the capital gains, which is somewhere around the 50% of the whatever you've made. I think that's what it is, whatever the heck it is.
Yeah, it's a high number.
Anyway. Reduce it to, you know, 1 or 2% or 5% on top of the sales tax.
Floyd Marinescu, who's coming on in May, is a big proponent of UBI and land value tax. And I've been listening to his stuff the last, I don't know, month or so when I have time, just to kind of like prepare for that interview. And he's got some good ideas about this, kind of like micro taxing and eliminating stuff like income tax, for example, eliminating stuff like property tax, eliminating all these things and fixing it with taxes that make more sense and are more incentive driven in terms of getting better outcomes for everybody, as opposed to, and it's funny, man, like you're kind of laughing because I think both of us think Floyd, UBI is like, it's like a dead idea, right? But I got to be honest, Len, the way he describes it, I've never heard anyone make the case for UBI as convincingly as he does. And the land value tax is another one that I think there's a lot more in common with the way you and me think than you might imagine at first glance. And I'm looking forward to that show, because I think that, you know, even you just brought it up, right? Like these, you know, taxing little bits on things and maybe alleviating some of the larger kind of cap gains and stuff like that. That's an idea he shares with you. And you didn't know that, but marching on the same banner there a little bit.
I'm trying to reduce the taxation that it currently exists, or even eliminate it, one or the two. Just try to encourage the use of it. And in that way, you can start capturing a new stream of revenue as a result. And it could be a net gain, even though it's significantly less. I'll be perfectly honest. One of the things that's preventing me from spending it en masse is the reporting requirements.
It's forced huddle, right? Everyone's just getting rich because they have no choice.
Yeah. Until laws change, or I relocate to a jurisdiction that doesn't have I'm kind of stuck. I mean, it's not
bad position. What's on your short list? Should we talk to Katie and Jessica Hodler about passports or what?
I'm fine. I think I'm good. But I think through all this, there's a transition to the last story. We're getting a little bit
sure. Yeah.
There's one last story. It's a good one, because a good transition from the last one. BISC 2.0, or aka BISC 2.
Did you try it?
Rolled out. You heard about this?
Did you try it?
Yeah, I did. Very briefly.
How sick is that? The interface is fucking awesome. It is awesome.
Neat. It's there's still, I couldn't find a willing match. So I'll get to that.
It's early. But anyway.
It's very early. So BISC 2 rolled out, and there's some nice improvements that come along with it. Now, people who are unaware, what is BISC? It's a decentralized exchange, user-to-user, peer-to-peer type exchange, and it offers KYC-free Bitcoin. And BISC 2.0, or BISC 2, is now going to offer a more friendly, more flexible, and more private way of doing so. It includes support right off the bat for Tor and other privacy networks. Not only that, you could also have multiple identities rather than just a single identity in the original BISC. So if you could have different identities and you could transact different, so it gives you a lot of different ways to cover the track, so to speak. And BISC 2 is not just simply patching the old code and coming up with something new. No, this is an entirely new code base built entirely from scratch, from the ground up. So good for them for doing this. And it comes with a whole new user interface as well. As you were talking about, it looks slick. Sounds like you tried it out, which is pretty cool. And so there's going to be some new trade protocols that are going to be provided, and each providing a different level of security, privacy, speed, cost, and convenience. So you could pick and choose what works best for you for your transaction. You could give a little bit of security up for speed, or give a little bit of convenience up for privacy, whatever that. There's so many different options here that's going to be available. But right off the bat, there's going to be BISC Easy. That's something which is good for novices and security as well. The security, if you want to look a little bit further, this is initially based off the seller's reputation. So you have to trust that the seller's reputation is correct. And that's going to be the level of security that you're going to be dealing with. In terms of BISC Easy, it's going to be easier to on-ramp as compared to BISC that we know already have used to this point. And they're also going to be offering, they're going to be offering BISC to fiat trading through BISC Easy. Not only that, there'll be BISC to fiat trading through BISC Multisig coming Q3 2024, Q4 2024 Lightning to Bitcoin trading, that's with submarine swaps, and Q2 2025 Lightning to fiat trading. So you're going to be able to do Lightning to Bitcoin very soon and then Lightning to fiat, which is really cool. BISC One is still going to be operated and fully maintained for the time being, but this will eventually end once the beta release phase for BISC Two ends. So if you're a BISC One user, just note that it's going to be fully maintained, at least for the period of time, and then they're going to start phasing that out. So there you go. BISC Two is released. It's live. I've tried it out. I tried to do some buys. I could not find anybody that was able to meet my demands. I was putting in what was my threshold to buy. I tried even the United States and Canada, nothing. It's still relatively new, so there's probably very few users using it, but really cool stuff. The only downside to this, I'll say, is there's going to be some shitcoin support moving forward. Stuff that is with Bitcoin in its name, you can figure out what I'm trying to say, but also Monero support is going to be included in the future. So that's the only downside from this.
It is a downside, but like I said before, I think on this show, we have to figure out how to do anonymous trading, like P2P, which is not always the easiest thing. So as a stopgap, I'm okay with that. Fine, no problem. It's not as much of a shitcoin as all this other garbage out there. I'm happy to see that. If that's one they want to use, whatever. This easy mode thing, Len, is the innovation, from what I understand. And like you, it was difficult to find a partner, but there is kind of this neat group chat feature in there where you can talk to people about what you're seeing as far as the order books and the conversion rate and stuff like that. It's pretty neat, I have to say. And I messed around with BISC a little bit in like 2021, maybe, or 2020. During COVID, when everyone was just like bored at home, you know, and I was just doing nothing but listening to Bitcoin podcasts all day and, you know, having my first beer at 4 o'clock. yeah, there's not much else going on. And so I was doing some of that stuff and messing around with it. I always thought it was pretty cool, but didn't really have a use for it. Now, here we are 4 years later, and we just finished talking about how important it's going to be to try and maintain anonymity and protect your privacy and things like this. It's another good tool. So my question for you is, how long until this comes under the crosshairs of a major first world government?
It may, but what could you stop? Like, what's that BitTorrent or whatever? I forget the
BitTorrent.
Name.
BitTorrent, yeah.
Because it's peer-to-peer, it's impossible to stop. It's not like Napster, which is centralized, doing essentially the same thing, sharing files, but that was done centrally. It didn't like it, you could stop it because it's centralized.
Yeah.
It's a peer-to-peer service like this. It may come under the crosshairs of governments, but what can be done? Just like Bitcoin, what can be done?
Yeah.
You may say you're going to ban it, you may say we're going to stop it, but if the internet operates, this could operate on the internet and it could be done.
I love it. I think this is great. I think it's fantastic. I love seeing this stuff. We may as well, you know, do this on the air. Should we invite the BISC guys on? I think we should, right?
I'd love to from the dev team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be a good show. So we'll do that. That's it for the Bitcoin stories. If you are on audio, see you tomorrow. If you are on video, do nothing. Just sit there and wait. And through the magic of video, we will continue to the next episode. Till then, take care of yourself.
Don't be a cuck. Are you a fan of the old school NHL 94 game on the Genesis or SNES? Why not check out my show, the NHL 94 podcast, from tournaments and tactics to the people who make up this community. Check it out wherever you listen to podcasts or find it on YouTube.